This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Indonesia's Lion Air is targeting an IPO of up to $1 billion, reportedly, in the first quarter of 2020. Now, this is according to Reuters sources, and this would potentially make it the third airline listed on the Indonesian Stock Exchange, or the IDX.
Well, this is following Garuda Indonesia and Air Asia Indonesia, which are already listed. And actually, this would probably be Indonesia's third largest IPO ever. Lion Air is, of course, part of the Lion Air Group, which includes Wings Air, Batik Air, Lion Bizjet, and our very own Malaysian-based Malindo Air, and also Thai Lion Air.
So for some initial thoughts on this prospective IPO, we have on the line with us Brendan Sobey, independent analyst with Sobey Aviation. Thank you for joining us, Brendan. Now, what do we know about Lion Air's proposed IPO at this stage?
We don't know too much because they haven't actually formally filed paperwork or for the listing. And of course, Lion has been looking at an IPO for several years, kind of on and off basis. But this time it does seem that they are rather serious in proceeding with an IPO at PT Lion Air, which is the Indonesian airline, which specifically is the largest airline in the Lion Group, but it would not include the overseas airlines such as Malindo in Malaysia, Thai Lion in Thailand.
Now, the tragic crash of Lion Air Flight 610 dominated aviation headlines this time last year. What do we know about Lion Air's general safety record, and would this have any impact on its listing?
Not necessarily. I mean, obviously they've had a couple of incidences in the past. The latest crash, of course, is even though there was some blame on Lion, I guess, in the crash report, and certainly initially once it happened, there was quite a lot of blame. And even Boeing was seen to be pointing fingers, which was very unfortunate in that very initial period after the crash a year ago. But in the end, of course, the problem was with the aircraft. So I think that's not so much an issue. You know, it's not necessarily just Lion's record. It's, you know, the record overall in Indonesia hasn't been so fantastic. But in the big scheme of things, it's an extremely large market. And it's a challenging market from an operational perspective as well.
And Brendan, will investors see this IPO as an attractive opportunity?
And Lion is a predominantly Indonesian domestic carrier, and they have the largest share of the market. They have a good positioning in the market in terms of slots, in terms of size of the fleet. They have an extremely low cost base, which allows them to offer affordable fares, which in the end of the day is important in Indonesia because it's a price-sensitive market and you're competing in some cases with ferries and so forth. And Lion has been able to stimulate that demand more than any other Indonesian airline and has survived in Indonesia when many airlines have actually collapsed. There's been a long list of airlines that have collapsed in Indonesia over the last 10 or 15 years. Lion has survived that and become the largest airline in Indonesia. So I think, you know, when people look at Lion Air's position in the market, that's what they're going to focus on. And again, it also goes down to who's going to be looking at this as from an investor side. I see this as a pretty much a local IPO. I don't see this as an IPO that will necessarily garner international investment attention because of the nature of the Indonesian market, because of the domestic focus of Lion Air, and for many other reasons.
Thank you very much, Brendan. And that was Brendan Sobey, independent analyst with Sobey Aviation. And so this is an interesting sort of situation that we find ourselves in here, because Lion Air has been looking at an IPO since 2005. So it's been 14 years since the first IPO thoughts were born. But at this stage, it's only actually been it's been less than a month since the crash report came out on the Lion Air Flight 610 crash into the sea. So I thought it was quite an interesting choice to perhaps be considering an IPO at this stage. But then again, it's also been a year since the crash, and it was widely considered to be, I think, a problem, as Brendan pointed out, with the plane rather than with the airline itself.
Although the airline company has had a checkered history with regards to safety. You go to the Wikipedia page and it's not the best kind of history. But I think what's interesting is to look at the characters behind Lion Air, right? Because it started by two brothers, Rusdi Kirana, who is actually now, if I'm not wrong, the Indonesian ambassador to Malaysia. And he started the company with his brother Kusnan in 1999, not long ago, with $1.2 million of capital. And they used to be, check this out, they used to be typewriter salesmen and a baking ingredient salesman. And now they run one of Indonesia's largest airline. So it seems like airlines that do pretty well have to be run or run by entrepreneurs like our own Tony Fernandez, right? I mean, he didn't come from an airline background. He ran a EMI, right? A record company.
Was it Warner?
Warner, sorry, maybe Warner. Now Tony's going to ban me from the flights.
Shouting on the no-fly list for Asia.
Yeah, because I got the wrong record company, sorry. But, you know, it's interesting that these entrepreneurs can really look at the airline business in a very different light, because it's all about yield. It's all about low cost, right? So they're not competing with the likes of the full-fare carriers like Qatar or Emirates. And maybe that's smart because, you know, it does seem like those airline models are just really difficult to kind of make any profit.
Yeah, but you know, when we talk about IPOs, right, the fact that it's Lion, I thought the Saudi Aramco IPO was a hot and cold story that never ended. But this has been going on since 2005. That's 14 years of maybe we will, maybe we won't.
Well, they're operating in a difficult environment. Indonesia is not known for a stable currency. The rupiah is notoriously volatile. And the economy also has its ups and downs. And IPO, it's all about timing. If you get it right and the market has appetite for it, then the pricing you get will always be more attractive.
And as you said also, Shaning, you referenced it, Lion Air has had a little bit of a checkered history, particularly highlighted by the crash report that came about as a result of Flight 610's crash, because they did... The report did highlight the fact that the same plane that crashed actually did see some problems in a previous flight, but it wasn't grounded. And I think there was something like 30 pages of maintenance logs that were missing from the same month that the plane went missing. So that's a bit of a question mark in Lion Air's history there. But also just continuing, you know, bouncing off of what you mentioned, the Roshan Saudi Aramco's IPO, that's also been in the news this morning because China's state-owned entities are apparently in talks about investing $5 to $10 billion in that IPO.
So I think Saudi Aramco is looking to help, or Saudi Arabia is looking to help bolster this IPO offering by getting a bit of Chinese support here. Mm-hmm. And if they can get, they're looking to commit about $5 to $10 billion in the IPO. And it's valued about $1.6 to $1.8 trillion, which is lower than what the Crown Prince wanted, right? He wanted to a $2 trillion valuation. And with an IPO float this size, you're going to need everyone and anyone to come and help you bolster this price, especially if Western fund managers are going to be skeptical about it.
Well, so who are these Chinese entities? The Beijing-based Silk Road Fund is among the parties that have been in discussion to buy the stock in the offering. Now, this fund was set up in 2014 with $14 billion of initial capital. The state-owned oil producer Sinopec is also another party interested. And Sovereign Wealth Fund, China Investment Corp, have also held talks in recent months about investing in Aramco. Now, why would the Chinese actually be looking at this? And I think it's all about foreign policy, right, and gaining, increasing China's influence. So, you know, investing in Aramco would definitely improve ties with Saudi Arabia.
So, of course, also bringing this closer to home, then the question is, would participating in the Aramco IPO make sense for us here in Malaysia? Because Petronas has reportedly been approached by Saudi Aramco to participate in the IPO. And Petronas does already have some kind of a relationship with Aramco. It's about to start commercial operations at a $27 billion refinery and petrochemical project that's Pengerang, built jointly with Aramco in Johor. And there are also a number of other parties that Aramco is approaching, including Abu Dhabi Investment Authority and the Mubadala Investment Co.
I think everybody will be asked when you're talking about...
everyone and their mother, basically.
Yeah, when you're talking about an IPO size like this, you know how it works. It's book building, right? So supply and demand. So the more demand, the better the share price that they probably can debut at. So I think they're going around the world looking at every big fund and saying, hey, one or not, please take up some. You know, this is a good deal. I mean, it's just like selling any other thing.
Yeah, and when you look at all the stories we've covered so far, right? It's a lot of, when you mention foreign policy, look at SoftBank, look at Saudi Arabia. The money is going across nations. Everyone is investing in each other. SoftBank wants to raise some money. Oh, let's go to Saudi Arabia and tap some money there. Saudi Aramco wants to raise some money. Hey, let's go to China and ask their sovereign wealth funds. We talked about how there was that wardrobe renter that was in one of the investors was Temasek. All these cross boundary investments from sovereign wealth funds, the world is really just globalized.
Basically, what I'm taking from this is Saudi Aramco is the global version of the door-to-door vacuum salesman. So, but that's one other story that we are going to be focusing on as we find more news about it. But right now, we're heading into some messages. And then after that, more local stories for you. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.